it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The big news of the day is obviously Micah Parsons. And the Dallas Cowboys are listening to trade offers now for Micah Parsons. It does not mean that they're going to trade him, but the fact that they're at least listening to trade offers is something of significance. There has been some already speculation since this news came out about an hour ago on what team Micah Parsons could potentially be going to. Per Jeremy Fowler at ESPN, the Ravens, Packers, and Cardinals are the teams that make the most sense in league circles for Micah Parsons, according to Jeremy Fowler. So take that forever what it's worth. Ravens, Packers, and Cardinals. The Cardinals would just seem as if, okay, that's a player that makes them relevant again. I still have a ton of questions, right, about Kyler Murray. I love Marvin Harrison Jr. You got another year here of Monty Austin Fort and Jonathan Gannon. I don't think there's a lot of pressure on the Cardinals because it feels like the Cardinals are irrelevant. But if they get Micah Parsons, am I going to sit there and think they're a playoff team? It improves their chances, but I wouldn't feel very confident and be very confident in them making the playoffs. The Packers, I think it makes them from a very good team to a great team. I think that's their missing piece, right? You finally draft a wide receiver in the first round for the first time since 2002. You got another year of Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs on the defense side of the ball. You got a very underrated player in Kenny Clark. You got Xavier McKinney, who is a top 30, top 40 player these days in the NFL. That would be a move where the Packers are saying, hey, we're not messing around anymore. And if he goes to the Baltimore Ravens, oh, man. I didn't even consider the Ravens, but that's one of those teams, and maybe that's because when Myles Garrett, right, requested a trade, you didn't think, okay, that the Browns would trade him to the Ravens. Ultimately, they got the deal done with the Cleveland Browns and Myles Garrett. But you look at the Ravens, they're definitely a team that if you want to go off Big Friendly's idea and the Aaron Donald idea as well of the Rams, why wouldn't the Ravens also say bleep those picks and go on out there and maybe get a deal done? Now, Clarence Hill Jr. covers the Cowboys. He says sources confirm that the Cowboys are now open to listening to offers for defensive end Micah Parsons. So you confirm the Adam Schefter report. And Clarence also adds, until they give the agent permission to speak to teams and negotiate a contract, what does this really mean? That's another point, too. Because you're not giving up two first-round picks, a player maybe, and then some to go get Micah Parsons and not knowing if you're going to be able to get the long-term deal done or not. You're just not going to do that. Now, I talked to one NFL general manager, just kind of in like jest the other day. But I told you about that story with that one NFL GM that I was texting them and they lost my number and they had the whole like transfer of contacts, all that. And when I told that NFL general manager, oh, I should have said I was Jerry Jones and I want Micah Parsons for two first round picks. That general manager said, oh, well, that would be enough, obviously, for us to give up to get the deal done. So at least two first-round picks probably for Micah Parsons if he does get traded. Let's welcome in a 1995 AL MVP. He has launched a podcast. Mo Vaughn and Perfect Game are launching MVP, the Mo Vaughn podcast. Now joining us is Mo Vaughn. Mo, how you been? Appreciate the time as always.
Zach, how you doing, bro? You're over there talking about my Cowboys too. Unbelievable. Like, I don't understand why we play these games. We're always playing these games, man, and then we – you know, we'll get stuff done, but we'll see.
How'd you become a Cowboys fan? Just wondering.
So I'm from Connecticut. My dad was a big Pittsburgh Steelers guy. So, you know, 70s, I was always just taking the other team.
That's awesome.
That's how this whole thing started. But man, it's been a rough 30 years, but I'm a realist fan. I'm one of those guys that, you know, I know when we're good. I know what we're lacking. I know, you know, when we have a chance to win. I'm not that, you know, that crazy fan that's like, we're always going to go to the playoffs and we're going to always win, you know, We're going to win a Super Bowl this year. So I've been struggling. I've been struggling for a little while now.
Well, most people know you as Mo Vaughn, the 1995 AL MVP. Now we know you as Mo Vaughn, as a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. And we know this offseason has been crazy. Now they're listening to offers for Micah Parsons. Jerry Jones taking shots at Micah Parsons' agent. It's really messy. And for the first time this offseason, I'm really thinking maybe he's not going to sign a long-term deal. Maybe they don't get this thing done down the road. If you could sit with Jerry Jones, what would you say to him right now? What would your message be, you understand the player side of this?
I understand all sides. You know, he's trying to create a narrative. It's a shame. It happens in sports all the time. But we need this guy. This guy is a game changer who can really affect the team. And without him, you know, we're going to struggle a little bit anyway defensively, let alone without him. It's going to be a real struggle. So let's stop worrying about all these other things and creating these narratives and different headlines. Sign the guy. Now you got to be careful when you sign the guy, because he hasn't been training all season. He hasn't been out there, you know, for preseason. Now we got soft tissue issues. We got to worry about growings and different things. So we got to get him in the fray. Got to get him back on the field. How many plays, if he signs this week, how many plays is he going to play? Thursday. So it's just hampering. And it just makes the organization look a certain way that you really don't want it to look.
But let's say tomorrow, Mo Vaughn, you get an alert on your phone and it's Micah Parsons, let's say, gets traded to the Green Bay Packers for 2 first round picks and then some. Would you be disgusted as a Cowboys fan?
Absolutely. I mean, as a fan, I understand, you know, I would be very, very hurt. On the ownership side, though, that is basically telling us we're in a rebuild and we're trying to do something similar to the Jimmy Johnson thing that he did with Herschel Walker, and we're trying to rebuild. But we never get, as a Cowboy fan, we never get these real answers. We never know what we're really trying to do. And that's why, you know, the stain comes out.
What are your expectations this year for this team? Like, if they do have Micah and he plays at some point, but what are you thinking, Mo Vaughn, this year?
Listen, the Eagles are the class of the league, so we're gonna play them twice. That's gonna be tough. I think Washington looks like they've gotten better. Let's see if they do. The Giants seem like they've gotten better. Let's see what happens there. I think it's gonna be a struggle. You know, I don't really know. You know, what are we, 9-8? You know, who knows, you know, what we're gonna do, but it's not gonna be easy. There's gonna be some serious growing pains. We got, you know, offensive line. We need some bigger defensive linemen. We gotta find linebackers that can tackle. It's just the things that we gotta do, you know, to really get back to where it was. I saw when it was greatness. So, you know, I'm kind of used to that. You can't have that. I tell people all the time, you know, who was the great Packers coach? All right, 60s, Lombardi.
Yeah, Vince Lombardi.
70s,
yeah.
You know, 70s, the cat from Chuck Noll. 80s, Bill Walsh. 90s, Jimmy Johnson / you know, a couple, you know, maybe another guy. 2000, you know, Belichick's on the back, 2000, you know. You don't always get to have these great coaches. They just don't come by like nothing. When you have one, you got to keep one of them, and that's what's happened to us.
Talking to Mo Vaughn right now. So you're coming out with this podcast, Mo Vaughn and the Perfect Gamer, launching MVP, the Mo Vaughn podcast. What can we expect when we tune in?
I just love – I didn't, you know, Zach, I didn't know how it was going to go. I'm looking you straight in your eyes, and I'm telling you, every time I've had a mic in front of me, it has always been about deflecting, keeping, you know, don't say too much, don't poke the bear, don't piss in the wind. You know, that's what it's always been. And I wasn't sure how I was going to react in the situation. But once I got the you know, got into this situation, and you start talking with guys, and I think I have some insight in what I'm talking about. You know, I could dig down, you know, underneath the surface of the game and figure out where people's heads are. It's been a great thing for me. I hope it's been great for, you know, the short while it's been going for all of my guests, but it's been a great situation for me where I'm talking the game. And I also say this, and I think this is very important. There's very few Alan Trammell, Derek Jeter, Cal Ripken, George Brett, just, you know, Tony Gwynn. There's very few of those guys. Most of us, 90% of us that retire or we leave the game, it's always with some angst or disdain. And I feel, for me personally, the podcast has given me the ability to express those things. Whatever narrative was said at that time, you get to talk about it. And I think it's a little bit of therapy. I think it's a little bit good. So I just try to illuminate the guys. I always say, let me know. Give me your credentials. You know, what do you got on your credit card? You know, talk the game. Let it out. Speak the game. Have fun with it. And it's been pretty good.
Oh, as someone that's 31, right? Like, I grew up watching Mo Vaughn, and I'm a Met fan. And when they signed you right away, I told my mom, like, take me to Modell's. I got to get the Mo Vaughn T-shirt. Obviously, it didn't work out in New York, but how do you kind of look back at that entire New York experience?
And those are the things that I'm talking about. Like, you know, I go, you know, I leave the Red Sox. I didn't want to leave the Red Sox. You know, in 99, I'm over in L.A. Then the first game of the year, I trip. I fall into the dugout. That's where they got those dugouts railings for me. I never gave L.A. what I could have. You know what I'm saying? I never came back. I blew my bicep off trying to compensate and things like that.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So you look at the Mets. You know, I'm from, you know, the tri-state area. I went to school in Pauling, New York. I'm from Connecticut. I went to school, college in Jersey. You think I wanted to come back and not perform? So those are the things that you got to kind of, like, live with and try to get them in their proper place. And talking about those things, even now, just talking about it, it's helpful. You know, in my everyday life.
Yeah, and my dad would take me to Shea Stadium. My mom would all the time. And when you talk to your parents, they would always talk about Daryl Strawberry. And I'll tell you, my best friend Alex and I, and we have a Mets partial plan now, we still talk about Mo Vaughn, right, with that big scoreboard out in right field in Shea Stadium, that Budweiser scoreboard, and we go, Mo Vaughn, and then it became Carlos Delgado. Like, you kind of started that for my generation. Right. Mo Vaughn would tattoo at times that scoreboard, and we've never seen someone just hit the scoreboard with that much force. It was pretty damn cool.
Listen, that was my one great thing I did. I wish I had, you know, all when you don't play well, in your heart you go, man, I wish I could have done better. I wish I could have given my family, my people that, you know, where I came from, you know, what are we watching? I think it was WPIX Channel 11 when I was younger, right? You're watching the Yankees, and then we were watching something else. The Mets were on another channel. So, you know, I'm right, you know, right in Norwalk, Connecticut. So that's Southern New England. So we're getting both. You know, I just wish I had played well. I wish I played better because that's really what I wanted to do.
And you look at the Mets now, right? They were hot to start the season. They got Juan Soto, Steve Cohen, all the money that he's spending. And for the last few months, they've been a bad baseball team. But this last week up against the Phillies, they swept them. And now people are looking like they're turning around. Nolan, the young pitcher, obviously thrown into the mix. You see Jonah Tong coming up on Friday night. When you get youngsters, when a team is maybe struggling that has all these proven guys, and they provide a little bit of of a juice and a spark to the clubhouse. What could that do for a team? Because, hey, with how ugly it's been for the Mets, they're still going to be a playoff team this year.
I never went to the World Series, but I do think when you go seven games ALCS and you lose that, I do feel you got to get that juice back.
Mm-hmm.
You know you've been there. You know you were that close. So, you know, you're worried about the race. You're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. But you know you're going to be in the playoffs, and I guarantee you when the Mets get in the playoffs, they're going to turn up all those and grab from all those experiences they had in, you know, last year going to the championship, and they're going to use that, and they're going to be fine. There's too much talent on the team for this to happen. Mets are one of those teams that are scary. You don't want to, you know, you can beat on them now. You beat on them now. They'll hang around, and then they'll get in the playoffs. And now you got to face some dudes that really know how to play. And your sights and your height, you're more heightened because you're in that situation. They're going to play well.
Let me also just get your perspective, right? You talked about your struggles in New York. Obviously, you won an MVP in Boston, but that's another major city. A guy like Anthony Volpe with the Yankees is just having a horrible season. If he hits you up and said, hey, Mo, you've been through the good times, you've been through the bad times, what advice would you give me? What would you say to him?
I would, if Anthony Volpe called me, I'd fly to his house because I know what it feels like. Everybody's beating on you. You know, everybody's talking. You're following to me what I call the best baseball player in playoff history in Derek Jeter, the guy that comes through all the time. So you got all these things. Get somebody to come in there who has played that position and talk to him. Calm him down. It's words. Words trigger good things if you say them the right way. Figure out, this kid is talented. He played great college baseball. He played at Vanderbilt. He didn't forget to play. Help him, work with him, talk to him about certain things. If I could call him now, I wouldn't be like, dude, chill out. I know it's hard. You're in a tough environment, but you can still play this game. Let's get out and figure out. Baseball is all about preparation. And the preparation is not for when you go well. The preparation is for when you're not going well. So you have something to draw back and go, I prepared myself today. It just wasn't my day. And that's what he's got to figure out. What is the daily preparation before the game on a consistent basis that's going to give me the opportunity to go on that field and have a chance for success? And I'd love to talk to him about that.
You talked about how, right, you grew up watching the Mets in Connecticut and how you wanted, obviously, to play better in New York. You know, Anthony Volpe grew up as a massive Derek Jeter fan. When it's a team that you grow up and you were watching them as a kid and then it doesn't go well, just how much does that eat you alive all these years later?
It does, because, you know, it's like, listen, for the family, the mom, the dad, or any brothers and sisters, wives, whoever it is, it's painful, man. Somebody's banging on your family member like that. That's painful. I don't care who you are. But we got to remember the reason this kid got drafted, and he got drafted for a reason, because he had the tools. Now we got to get in here and get everything smoothed out right, the right way, so he could go out and perform. He all of a sudden just didn't become a bad baseball player. We need to get some somebody who understands where he is and bring him up mentally and get him back and put your arm around the kid and try to get him going.
Wrap it up with Mo Vaughn once again. Mo Vaughn, Perfect Game of Launch MVP, the Mo Vaughn podcast. The Red Sox, a lot of excitement entering the season. Garrett Crochet, right? They made the big move. People looking forward to the Red Sox again. And then they traded Rafael Devers, and everyone wrote them off. But this team's going to be in the postseason. How surprised are you that the Red Sox has still played really well, even after trading Rafael Devers back a few months ago?
It's surprising, but also sometimes one guy, and, you know, listen, I left the Angels. They went to the World Series. Maybe I was the problem, you know? But you rally. People don't understand, like, you know, you take something out, people rally around each other. I think that's what the Red Sox have done, you know, is rally around their entire team and going out and find a couple, you know, got some young guys that got some snap and, you know, got some juice. And, you know, they're working well with it. So, you know, I was shocked with the trade, but I also know you can't tell your employer, I'm not going to do something and think nothing's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And that's where this whole thing worked, you know, went sideways. But for the Sox, they're right in it. And, you know, fan base, what do you call it? 10th man, whatever you want to call it, 10th man, whatever. You're coming into Fenway Park, you know, when it's tight, our environment is very, very good.
One last thing for you, Mo Vaughn. Before the season started, I had A-Rod on, and I said to him, you know, I don't care what people say about the steroids and all that. Still, the best baseball player that I've ever seen was actually Barry Bonds. Shohei Ohtani obviously gets thrown into that conversation. Is Shohei the best baseball player you've seen? And if he's not, then who is?
I'm with you. I'm tired of people always knocking on the 90s like everybody did PEDs. Listen, we had great baseball players in the 90s. And some of the best players in the game, as you just mentioned, those names are from the 90s, and they're great players. And we need to, you know, we need to recognize that. This guy, I actually saw him live down here at the WBC. He's like the, you know, 6'5", you know, tall, long legs, strength, you know, strength under that uniform. He glides like this guy can run. He can really run. And he's got a great swing. You know, when he came here, he had the big leg kick. All of a sudden he fixed that. Got to be more in control, you know, as a lefty batter in a major league box consistently. And he throws at 100 miles an hour. Because when he came in facing Mike Trout, that inning to win it, it was electric. Great player. Great guy, he can do it all, and there's a lot of great guys out there that can play. He can do it though. He's one of the best we've ever seen.
Yeah, and you look at someone like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, and let me be clear, I hate Roger Clemens.
Those two are my guys.
Yeah,
that's just the way that it is. Mm-hmm. Their greatness is their greatness. Why you hate Roger?
Well, I'm a Mike Piazza guy, and Roger Clemens had some rage and threw a bat at Mike Piazza. So I don't like Roger Clemens, but with that being said, even with the cheat and everything, he should absolutely be a Hall of Famer. I hate how they're trying to erase my era with guys like Rogers and Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, A-Rod, you know?
These dudes were great players. I don't want to hear anything else. And I'm going to tell you one thing about Mike Piazza. Probably top three or four right-handed hitters I've ever seen in terms of just – when Mike wanted to turn it on, he could do it. He was exceptional. It was great to play with him.
Well, once again, make sure you check out Mo Vaughn and Perfect Game. They've launched MVP, the Mo Vaughn podcast. Get it wherever you do get your podcasts. And episodes will debut on Mo Vaughn's YouTube channel at noon Eastern and air at 8 p.m. Eastern. And you can also check perfectgame.tv as well. Episodes air every Thursday. They do come on out, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and all major platforms. I think we got everything right there, Mo, correct?
You did it. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Anthony Volpe, come find me, bro. I got good words for you.
You got it. Thanks so much. Right, there he is.
See you later.
The great Mo Vaughn joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Wow. I wasn't expecting to start the conversation with the Cowboys. Then we obviously get into the baseball. Good stuff there. We'll come on back with a little news brief next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why
people
it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.